Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Welcome to Truth Set Free, our Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities Q&A program. It is recorded live on Wednesdays at 3:30 p.m. with Pastor Matt Lewis and Steve Winery. You can view the live program at our Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities Facebook page and on our YouTube channel. You can text your questions to 707-872-7677 or email them to crosswalkradio@gmail.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Truth Set Free. We're back. Matt Lewis, Pastor Steve Winery from Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities. Going through your Bible questions. If you guys have questions for Pastor Steve, please send them to me, crosswalkradio@gmail.com. You guys can text 707-872-7677. We have a website, tons of stuff going on. We also have an app that you can download. Has a bunch of stuff like bulletins, song sheets, events, and that's a good way to keep up with us. We have kids camp coming up, young adult mission trip, flag football. Tim Hawkins is coming. That'd be a cool one to go to. We're doing that for a ministry fundraiser. So get on there and check us out, and all that's there. We got a gym project going on. Do you want to say anything about that for the guys that don't know what we're doing over in our gym?
When we built our original sanctuary, I built it with the thought in mind that we'd have to expand later on, and so that's what we've done. We've expanded, and the plan was always to turn that into a gym, and so set it up for basketball hoops as far as the ceiling goes and that kind of stuff. And even up in the area that we had a bookstore up in a loft. And when I built that, with a 120-pound live load. So yes. We're going to put a weight room up there.
We're all going to get buffed. Yeah,
that's right. There you go.
We're all getting jacked at Calvary.
Anyway, that's in the process. It's pretty cool. Pretty exciting. So
Yeah. Volleyball, pickleball, basketball is going to be great for the school. Mm-hmm. All right, let's jump into some questions here today. This is my first one. Okay, I'm really struggling to manage finances right now. Everything is so expensive. I just can't keep up. How does tithing work when I don't have much left over to give?
You know, this is one of those things that it's not really hard for me to talk to you about this, but I am a pastor, and so the whole tithing thing, you know, it's like people think that there's a conflict of interest and stuff because obviously, I get paid from the church and that kind of thing. I'm just going to share with you from the perspective of a believer and things that God showed me when I first gave my life to, not when I first gave my life to Jesus, but when I first actually started following Jesus. About 3 years later, I started growing the Lord. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and it says this, verse 6, "This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able," this is the important part of this passage, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." And so Paul is actually talking to these guys about basically policies of giving, and specifically giving to some situations that were going on at the time, and Paul was going to be coming in and collecting from the Corinthians. And so, you know, the first thing that you see is you give as you purpose in your heart. That's not to leave out tithing. So there are people who just get weird about this whole thing. When you look in the Bible, tithing is not something that comes from the Old Testament law. Tithing was there before the Old Testament law. And so both Abraham and Jacob talked about tithing to the Lord. And Abraham's situation in Genesis chapter 14, he gives a tithe to Melchizedek, the king of Salem. And that's used as a principle in the book of Hebrews later on. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, you see the same thing with Jacob. Both these guys are long before Moses. And then when you get to the Mosaic Law, tithing is included in that. It's not started there. It's included in that. And the tithe was something that God used to take care of the priests and the Levites specifically. God didn't give them a portion in the land as far as territory goes. They did have cities that were given to them, but they had no territory of their own. And God purposed that the priests and temple would be taken care of through the tithe. You have that same principle continued in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 9, it says in verse 3, he says, "My defense to those who examine me is this: do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war is at his own expense. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain.' Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we've sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partaker of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." Okay, so that's New Testament principle. And so Old Testament, New Testament, that's a continuity of principle as far as what part of the giving is supposed to go to when believers are giving. So the other thing that you have is the tithe is never abrogated in the Bible. You have it before the law. You have it during the law. You have it during the time of Christ. Christ, in fact, talked about the fact that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they tithed the mint, anise, and cumin, and they left the weightier matters of the law undone. And Jesus then says, this you should have done without leaving the other undone. And so, again, he's talking about the tithe. The word tithe itself means a tenth, and that was shocking to me when I first looked it up, because I came from a completely non-Christian background. And I was like, a tenth of my income? Are you crazy? You know, that's a lot of money. And so it was pretty shocking to me. But along with that, God gives a promise that he's going to provide for our needs. And so that first passage that I read to you in 2 Corinthians 9 talks about the fact that God is going to give you an abundance so that you have more to give, you know, even later on. So as you give to him, he does not become your debtor. What he does is he takes care of you. And so that's the New Testament promise. In the Old Testament, you have exactly the same promise in the book of Malachi. And in that passage, this is a real famous passage. I mean, Malachi is talking to the Jews through Malachi. And he says this. This is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. "Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." And so it wasn't just tithes. There were tithes, and then there were offerings on top of that. "In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." All based on the tithe and giving to the Lord. And so this is something, again, that you see throughout the New Testament. Another Old Testament minor prophet talks about the fact that the people are going out, they're working hard, but it's like they're taking their money and they're putting it in bags with holes in it, because God just comes and wipes it away. And the reason that he does that, he says in the passage, is because they weren't putting the things of God first. They were in their own houses and not building the house of the Lord. And so again, you see this principle. This is one of those issues that God comes after every Christian on. I don't know anybody that doesn't go through these financial issues as far as a test of their faith and their obedience to God. It was one of those things that was a big fat deal to me. And just like you, I was in financial straits when I first began dealing with the issue of tithing. I barely had enough money to, actually, I didn't have enough money. I wasn't making enough money to pay my bills and give to the Lord at the same time. And what I did was, you know, God was obviously dealing with me on this whole issue. And what I did was I prayed and I just went, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, trust me in this. And actually use the passage in Malachi, brought that to mind and some of the other ones that I was reading to you. And he said, you need to trust me that I'm going to take care of you. And I went, okay, so I'm going to do this. So it would literally come down to every month, it would be a choice between tithing or my electric bill. It would be tithing or my gas bill. It would be tithing or fixing my car. It would be one or the other. And what I did was I committed to the fact that I was going to pay my tithe first. And so you have that principle in Proverbs chapter 3, where it talks about giving God the first fruits of your increase. And so I started going through and, you know, figuring out how much money I was making. And that week I would get paid and immediately I would write a check and take it to church and give it in the offering. And then I had to trust God that he was going to supply my need. And you know what? There was never one time, not once, that he didn't. And some of the coolest things that have ever happened to me happened in the context of doing that. Let me give you a negative one first. I had a situation where somebody ripped off the carburetor off my charger. And so it was a choice between tithing and a new carburetor. And I needed a carburetor to get around, obviously. I had to drive my car. So I go to fix my car and... I got this backwards. It was a choice between fixing my car and tithing. And so I knew the amount that I was supposed to tithe. I got that whole thing backwards. I knew the amount that I was supposed to tithe, and I didn't that week. And what happened was somebody came and ripped off my carburetor.
So God took it anyway.
Yeah, God took it anyway. And it was literally the exact amount of my tithe. To the penny.
Here's your sign.
Yeah, the exact amount of my tithe. Okay, so that's the negative one. The other ones were, you know, I'd get my electric bill and I would pray over my bills and I'd just go, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer, and in it it says that we need to pray for our daily bread. And so basically praying for our needs daily. And so I would take my bills and I would spread them out before the Lord and just go, God, I don't have enough to pay my electric bill. So it's a choice between paying you and my electric bill. So I'm paying you. And what happened at least three times, what happened to me was I would pay my tithe and then in the mail, I would get an envelope without a return address, and it had cash in it, and it was enough cash to pay my bills. One time, I'm in a situation where I was struggling, and I get a knock on the door of my apartment, and some guy came in, you know, was standing there with a couple of bags of groceries for me, and I started having a conversation with him. And I realized that the guy was not a believer, probably because of some of the things, well, obviously because of some of the things that he said. And so I didn't want to take them. And so I kind of kindly said, you know, I don't need that. And I saw the look on his face and I just went, you know what, I'll just take them. And so I took the groceries and came back into my apartment, sat him on the counter, you know, thanked him for what he'd done for me. And I started talking to the Lord. I'm like, God, what's going on here? And God spoke to me and he said, if I want to provide for you, I'll provide for you any way that I want to. I can use unbelievers. I can use believers. I can use mail, whatever I want to. And so if I'm providing for you, you take it and you lose the pride, basically, is what he was telling me. And so this kind of stuff happened to me over and over. After my wife and I got married, we had some of the same financial issues. And I really believe that the reason that we had those financial issues is because God hadn't taught her the lessons yet. And he was using that to develop her trust in God in that situation. So this is the thing that I think about tithing. All that to say this. This is the one area where the scripture says that you can test God. This is the one area where the scripture says that you can prove God in these things. And it's an area that God will use in your life to show you how real he is. And so don't be afraid of a situation where it's a choice between giving and your bills. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's in Psalm 50. And not only can he take care of himself, he can take care of you too. And so it's a great lesson to go through. And I would just encourage you to go and pray about it. It's not my business to be telling you how much you need to be giving to the Lord, but you go and pray about it. And you need to be giving. You need to be giving. And that is what Scripture says. And so that's what I do with that. Here's the other thing with this. I don't tithe to my family. I don't tithe to my friends. I tithe to the Lord. And so, again, the principle that you have in the Scripture is that the place that you're going to church, the place where you're getting fed, that's the place where I give my tenth. And so it's still like that to this day. I don't write checks out anymore. It comes out out of my bank automatically and stuff. I kind of miss the writing of the checks. But anyway, I just automatically give to this place because this is where, you know, this is my church. And so even though I'm the guy teaching, this is the work that God has me doing here. This is where I'm involved. And so that's where my tithe goes. And it's not limited to my tithe. So anything else that I do, and so I've had, for example, a Compassion Kid. Gosh, I think I'm on my fourth since the 80s. I've been giving to Compassion, and I give to missions, and I give to, you know, other things. And those are above and beyond my tenth. And so God has always blessed me. It's like I could lift up my shirt and show you how chubby I am. You know, I have never been hungry. I've never been in a situation where God hasn't taken care of my needs, and that's the promise of God. You're no different than I am. So
yeah, two things. Everyone's feeling this with inflation and the economy and gas mm-hmm. prices. Living in Washington, I go on and on and on, and it is expensive. And even like God's blessing us here because we're growing with people. So it's kind of like the disciples when they're like, "What do we do with these thousands of people?" It's totally different than feeding 10 people.
Right.
And God's doing miracles to feed those people. He's doing miracles here too, because you need all these resources. I cannot believe, you know, being on the other side of, it's like we write checks going out of style because of so many people that we're ministering to, mm-hmm. and it's expensive. So from both sides, but coming out of the world and the smoke and mirrors that people use. And I had this misnomer as well. In fact, I was listening the other day to a health and wealth pastor, and he was doing the give to me so I can have another jet, blah, 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 and God will bless you. Mm-hmm. And he had his wife quote some verse out of Psalms in another translation, and you could tell he didn't look that up first. But I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, don't worry about the guy that God blesses. You just be faithful. And then when you read it in the other translation, it said, don't worry about the evil man that God allows to do that. And his wife's, her eyes got really big. She read it anyway, and he's like, uh-oh. you can tell.
It's Psalm 73.
Yeah, Psalm 73. And so it's not about, it's not about that. And you already made the point, but it's about trusting God that he's the one that takes care of you and my heart. So riches and cares of this life is one of the number one things that takes us out, especially guys. So right out of the gate, I need to get that taken care of. Who do you trust? Who do you rely on? And is your heart with me? And that's what tithing's about.
Yeah, that's really what it's about. But again, you know, there's a whole giving heart kind of thing. You got the passage in James that talks about somebody comes to your door and they're naked and destitute of food. You don't say to them, you know, be warm, be filled, be on your way. How does the love of God dwell in you at that point? We're supposed to be people who treat others like Jesus would treat them. And so it's not just in the area of giving at church. It's just in the area of having a giving heart and not allowing our finances to control us. You know, it's like, and again, this is miraculous. As far as I'm concerned, the whole tithing thing and God providing for you is miraculous. I've had miracles take place. Had another story where, again, it's like couldn't pay one of my bills, and I was like, okay, here we go, Lord, I'm paying my tithe, and I'd quit a job probably about 3 months before, and had a girl from my old job show up on my doorstep, and she says, hey, they owed you an extra check, and they never paid you. And, you know, right after I'd done it, like the day after,
yeah,
I'd done that whole thing. And so, you know, even in timing and things like that, God just does really cool things there.
Yeah, I had a, I don't know if this is so, I don't know, I don't do this. You know me and my mm-hmm. personality, but I'm on Facebook of all places, like the mecca of manipulation and phonies and fake salesmen. And I see this guy over in Afghanistan. And he's doing missions, and his car tire blows up, and he's asking for money to get back to do missions. I have no idea who this guy is, but God told me, I want you to fix this tire. I'm like, all right. So I'm texting him, and I'm like, hey, send me your financials. Let me know that you're a real person. I'm trying to do my due diligence because, yes, I'm giving to the Lord, but I don't like giving to ripoffs.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he's doing this thing, sending me all this stuff, and he's a legit ministry. And so I fixed his tire. A day later, I get a check in the mail of, hey, they actually gave too much, and they gave me back the exact amount of his tire, the exact amount. And that grew into a relationship where I'm like really good friends with this guy, and I talk to him annually, and God just did this whole work. But it wasn't a coincidence. Like God said, I want you to do that. The next day, God paid for it.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt, because I learned the lesson that you did. Yeah. If I wouldn't have done that, I would have paid that money anyway.
Right, yeah.
Because he's exactly. hit me the other way where the exact amount came out because I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Miraculous, to your point.
Yeah, awesome.
Moving on, this is my next one. I'm talking to a Calvinist, and I'm asking for help and what I should focus on as a main point when trying to explain things. Could you give a brief overview and then maybe some things you focus on, please?
Okay, most people know about Calvinism. They've got little acrostic thing that they do called TULIP, and it's their doctrinal positions. And so TULIP stands for Total Depravity of Man, Unconditional Election, Limited Atonement, Irresistible Grace, and Perseverance of the Saints. And so when you go through and you look at the whole Calvinistic point of view, they're coming from the point of view of God's sovereignty and election. The Bible does teach this. And the depravity of man, the Bible teaches that too. And the election of God, the unconditional election of God, the Bible teaches that too. And so when I'm going through and talking with a Calvinist, I'll make those points. And a lot of times I'll show them, this is stuff that I've studied out, and so I'm interested in these things. And so when I'm talking to a Calvinist about the total depravity of man, I've got a number of passages that I'll turn to. But one of the best is Romans chapter 3. And so I'll go through them and show them that, and, you know, show them that we agree.
That's all the time we have for this week. If you have questions for Pastor Steve, email us at crosswalkradio@gmail.com or send us a text at 707-872-7677. God bless.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.